Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
It's time to line them up. Opening lines, line moves, and how money is moving the sports betting market. Line them up with Joe Ostrowski and Joe Giglio. Get ready to place your bets.
Welcome back. Thursday night football tonight. The Giants at Washington football team. And we are looking ahead to the week two games that we like this weekend. We just went over a bunch of games last segment. We're going to continue the conversation. Joe G, I know you're looking at Titans at Seahawks. Walk us through that.
Yeah, I love the game. And I love the Seahawks side of it. The Titans look like, they look like a train wreck in week one. I mean, their offense with Todd Downing as the coordinator was nothing like the offense we saw with Arthur Smith. They barely had play action, which is where Tannehill really became the quarterback he became the last couple weeks. Derrick Henry, because they were down, was almost a non-factor. And I look at Seattle, and Joe had mentioned in the last segment with Seattle creating explosive plays against it. You know, what we think of as a good Colts defense. The Titans defense isn't good. We know that. We saw it last week. We saw it last year. Now you have Seattle with Russell Wilson creating explosive plays. I think this could be a big win for Seattle. I mean, usually I'm looking at Tannehill getting a lot of points. Maybe the Titans bounce back. I don't feel a bounce back. I mean, this feels like an appropriate number. The last time I saw it, it was at, was it 5.5?
Or did it five and a half now.
5.5.
Last night it was 4.5.
Yeah. That's when I wrote it down at 4.5, but I thought I saw this morning 5.5. Seattle minus 5.5. The over-under is 53.5. So it's telling you they expect the Titans offense to bounce back a little bit and us to get some points here. I just don't know how the Titans slow down the Seahawks.
So the look ahead was 3.5, but with the reaction, now we're at 5.5. At one point this week is up to 6. I understand if you don't want to bet the Titans. What are we going to see from this offense? I'm worried about going against teams that lost last week. Because one, you have the overreaction, everybody's out on them. And two, it's the NFL. I know it's crazy. We just started the season, but teams are in desperation mode. Because if you start 0-2, history tells us is there's an 89% chance that you're not going to make the playoffs if you start 0-2. So are the Titans going to be adjusting? Because they have to. They have no shot. You know, if Derrick Henry's going to get you, 8 or 10 rushing yards in the first half of the game. Anytime I see Russell Wilson laying a big number, I'm concerned, right? If he's getting points, if it's a pick 'em, I know I'm going to be in the game. I feel all right about that. But when he's laying now 5.5, and I know they're going to be at home, the place will be rocking. They did great last week against the Colts defense, explosive offense, off to a terrific start with their new offensive coordinator. And the defense looked really good. So are we going to see that again against Tannehill? Overall, I do like the Titans coaching staff. I'll develop an opinion on Todd Downing fairly shortly because we have to see how he's able to adjust. I can't lay 5.5 with Seattle against Tennessee.
All right, Bengals at Bears. This is one I have an eye on. The Bears secondary is just a mess. And then Andy Dalton playing his old team, it means he's probably due to play the most average Joe way that he can. We saw Joe Burrow and the offense struggle in the first quarter of action last week, but once Burrow started cooking, I thought he looked really good. It's not going to be easy for the Bengals going into Chicago and coming out victorious, but since he is only a 2.5-point dog, they can absolutely walk out of Soldier Field with a W. And then Bengals safety Von Bell said yesterday, we're going to take over. We'll take over the city. They are fired up for this game. I need a dog. I'm going with the Bengals plus 2.5.
Take over the city? Are you serious? Go eat more poop on spaghetti. What the hell? See, you gotta come
Holy
to Chicago.
Fish, eat poop on spaghetti.
You ever see Skyline chili that they love? Yep. It's a delicacy there. It's what it looks like. My goodness. The line movement is pretty wild here. It's insane. The look ahead was 3.5. So then the Bengals pull off the upset against the Vikings. And the Bears are, you know, at the end of the game, they end up being a no-show. They lose by 20. Right. The scoreboard looks bad. But there was reaction there in the market right away. It moves down to 3.5. Now we have one. There are sports books putting up -1. That's quite significant. My first reaction as a bettor was, are some of the sharper people just setting this up? They're betting the Bengals, and then they're going to come in on the other side once they get that Bears number to a number they like. We're going to see more of Justin Fields. So the plan of attack there will be fascinating. There were two offenses that had zero explosive pass plays last week. It's the Bears and the Falcons. Zero. And that's what you're going to get with Andy Dalton. I mean, we saw 4th and 15. I'm going to throw 12 yards. I mean, great. That's a great plan. The offensive line in tatters. It's a mess. David Montgomery looked good for the Bears offense last week. The key here is going to be with the line. The Bears front seven needs to dominate. Yep. You need to see the old Khalil Mack. You need to see Akeem Hicks bring it, because that's the big weakness of this Bengals team, that offensive line. That was a controversy around the draft. Why aren't they helping to protect Joe Burrow? Burrow was good last week. On third down, they stunk, but they went to Mixon a lot. We're talking about workhorse. You were saying Gibson getting 20 carries feels like a workhorse in the game now. Well, Mixon had 29. So he's going to get a heavy workload. Pay attention to his number with the props here. The Bengals did have to play a 5-quarter game last week. Not one of my strongest plays, but at the current number, I like the Bears.
Yeah, I like the Bears when the week started. And then the more I thought about this game, the more I just wonder, I mean, How much better is the quarterback on one side than the other? Let's put Fields away for a second. I'm not talking about the place he comes in for. No. I mean, it might be a pretty big gap. I mean, before the season, I would have said, I'd rather have Burrow, but Burrow at this stage of his career coming off the knee injury, how much better is he really right now today than Andy Dalton? Week one, he was much better. I mean, much better. And the one thing about Burrow in week one that I was impressed by, look at his numbers last year. He wasn't great throwing the ball down the field. He was great intermediate, great underneath. But downfield passing, it wasn't great. He threw that bomb to Ja'Marr Chase. Did you see the highlight? They spliced it over the play they had at LSU. It was like the same exact play, just right down the right sideline, and then like they changed their jerseys. It looked like LSU all over again. I'm worried about the Bears, Joe.
How about that stat that Joe Osborne gave us yesterday
about Burrow. Joe Burrow against Fred, 7-2-1 since he in his 10 games that he's finished. I mean, that's pretty darn good. I'm going to stay away from this game, but I'm not going to be surprised if Burrow's down maybe or tied or down three, right, with 3 minutes to go and has the football in his hand and can go down and win the game.
To your point, I feel like there are so many bad offensive lines right now, and the Bears are one of them, kind of under the radar since we spend so much time talking about Chase and Burrow and Mixon for the Bengals side. The Bengals defense had 17 pressures on Kirk Cousins last week. It could be the same thing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
All right, Joe O, a game that I love on the board. Pats at Jets. Take it away.
All right. You guys are going to hate me on this one.
Oh, boy. Here it goes.
Joe G's on record. He loves the Patriots. Loves it. Bill Belichick against a rookie quarterback and Zach Wilson. Jets failed to move the ball a ton last week. I get it. Got the Mekhi Becton injury. The left tackle for the Jets going down. That's going to hurt. Let's not forget that there's a rookie quarterback on the other side, too, Mac Jones. So we'll see. Patriots have won their last 10 games at the Jets. The issue with New England last week was in the red zone. They'll get that fixed throughout the season as Mac Jones develops. The look ahead was 3.5. It opened at 3.5. All Patriots support coming in. We're at 5.5. It's too many points for the Patriots on the road. Jets.
All right. Let me reverse this a little bit, okay? The other side of this. The Jets offensive line gave up 6 sacks, 11 pressures on Sunday. They ran for 2.6 yards per carry. They had less than 100 yards at halftime against the Panthers, okay? And the Panthers might be improved. They might be a decent team. We'll probably talk about that game next. And Mekhi Becton's out. How are they – Zach Wilson, I don't know if that kid's going to make it through the game. And I like the way he throws it. He's pretty impressive, but – that offensive line is bad against Bill Belichick and Judon and guys that could get pressure. I know it's a lot of points on the road, and you're right. It's a rookie quarterback on the other side. And one fumble, one missed field goal could cost you in this kind of game, right? If the Patriots are winning by 6 and then they don't get the field goal, they don't get the touchdown, they should get in late, it could cost you. But, I mean, you also can't take the Jets side. Are you taking the Jets side or would you stay away?
I know this is not going to be a Final Five contest to play because there's no way I'm going to talk Paul into it. But – yeah, if I'm playing it, I'm taking the Jets. Do I feel great about it? Not really. It's moved through. 4 isn't dead, but when you're in that 5 range, like that's a dead number. It wouldn't surprise me once we get to kickoff that this thing keeps going higher, and we're talking about is it going to touch 7?
Oh, I agree.
All right, I'm laying the points on this one. I'm with Joe G. Coach Belichick is 21-6 against rookie QB. Zach Wilson was struggling against the Panthers. Now he's going against one of the best defensive minds in all of football. I think it's going to be tough for Zach Wilson. Mac Jones, I know, I get it. He's a rookie as well. But I think he could have a breakout game. Second game, more comfortable, more confident. Joe O is smiling.
And you guys are killing me.
Defense.
I'm on an island here. Paul's like, during the break, that's the last thing that Paul said. He's like, oh, we're going to talk about Jets Patriots. You can't touch the Jets. Like, that's the one thing that we do know. Everybody's against
me. All by yourself on this one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump to Saints Panthers here. Saints Panthers, next game. I really am just more than I have a strong play. I do like the Panthers plus the points at home. I just am fascinated for this game coming up on Sunday because we're talking about two teams that I didn't think really would be any good. Two teams I didn't put in the playoffs and think would make the playoffs. One certainly will be flying towards that kind of realm after the game on Sunday. One of these teams will be 2-0. We know Paul Aspen has the Panthers 70-1 to be the last undefeated team. They go to Houston on Thursday night, next Thursday. So that's our game next Thursday night. But I just like Carolina. Their defense got a lot of pressure on Zach Wilson, as we just talked about. The other side is banged up. Lattimore out of the game. The traveling Saints, at some point, I think that catches up to them here. Division road game. I think it's a close game, and in a close game that I don't have a conviction either side, two quarterbacks that I would still put at the bottom 10 in the NFL, I'll just take the points on the Panthers. I like their side of it.
You aren't wrong about the pressure last week. We love Brian Burns on this show. Yep. But That was against the Jets.
And their
New Orleans has one of the better offensive lines in the game. So that's going to be intriguing to watch. Darnold, he didn't mess anything up for the most part, right? Like that's what you're looking for out of Sam Darnold. So Carolina has actually covered in 5 of their last 7 games going back to last year. I know most of those without Darnold, just worth noting. And the Saints cover as well. I don't think they're going to go 4-for-4 in the red zone again against Carolina. That'd be tough to replicate. But Jameis, I mean, what do you say that's negative? And that Saints defense was terrific. And maybe it's just we're going to look back and say, wow, how did that happen? How did the Packers have a complete no-show in that game against New Orleans with everything going on there? But I would lean to Carolina. The look ahead was 1.5. They opened at 2.5. It is quite significant. Another one of these games that cut through that key number of 3. It went from 2.5 to 3.5. A few of those. Kansas City was one. And we talked about a few others. The line movement. Wow. These markets are a hopping. People seem to be betting earlier and earlier.
I noticed that too. A lot of movement early Tuesday, Wednesday, and this week. Quick thing, no Lattimore. This game could come down to one big play. Robbie Anderson's the big play guy, and he has chemistry from the Jets time with Darnold. Right, let's throw in the Broncos-Jags. Is this we talk about ugly games, and both sides is not ugly. Joe, I know how bad the Jaguars were. I felt silly that I took them to win the division as I watched that game last week. But they're getting 6 points at home. The Broncos went east, went back west, going back east. Everyone is talking about Urban leaving. Everyone's talking about how Trevor Lawrence didn't look good compared to the other rookie quarterbacks, especially Mac Jones. I just feel like the number's too big for their home opener. 6 points. I feel the way about this game I think you feel about Jets-Patriots, where I understand who the better team is. You understand, obviously, the Patriots are better than the Jets. But the 6 points, I like the Jaguars side of this.
There are some dirty dogs here in week 2. Yes. There are ones that I'm trying to make cases for, but it's very tough to pull the triggers. So beware the overreaction. And we'll have a finalized list on our Friday show. But you're right. This is too much. The look ahead was 3. It got out to 6.5. Then we had some pushback there. And now we're sitting at 6 with a total of 45.5. Teddy Bridgewater had the highest quarterback rating and the highest EPA of all the quarterbacks in the National Football League last week against what I'm told is a stout Giants defense. He was remarkable. The Broncos are beat up too. So we know about the Judy injury, and you also lose Darby in the secondary. So now rookie Patrick Surtain is going to have to start. So he needs to make an impact. I know it's the Jaguars, but he does. Urban burning timeouts. They're tough to back, and they didn't even start to put anything on the board against the Texans until it was garbage time. And defensively, I mean, they were giving up a ton of explosive plays to the Houston Texans. So this scares you a little bit. I mean, the Broncos aren't the most explosive offense out there. They're not looking to be that. But you're right. 6 points is too much. It is dog or pass. There are a lot of games this week that are dog or pass to me.
Yes.
And this fits that category.
Yeah, I think the same thing. And look, I think the Judy injury will hurt the Broncos a little bit. A good young receiver that was trying to come into his own in his second year. I just also, can I fade Teddy a little bit this week in terms of playing that well again? Like Teddy Bridgewater, that might
not going to be number
1.
Yeah,
right. That's probably the game of his career last week against whatever you want to call it, a decent, pretty good, very good defense, an above average Giants defense. I think he comes back to earth. Broncos don't make as many big plays, and we have ourselves a game in the fourth quarter. All right, on the other side, let's do a little prop shopping for the NFL for week 2. Our favorite early looks at props for all the games. That's coming up. Joe G, Joe O, Aaron Hawksworth, BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, right here on the BetQL Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.